present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Humphrey Littleton.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. You join us this week in Manchester, the fine metropolis boasting a wealth of culture and history. As the epicenter of the Industrial Revolution, it was here that a phrase was coined that has survived to this day. What happens in Manchester today happens in the rest of the world tomorrow. So if you're listening, rest of the world, tomorrow it's going to drizzle. Famous people from Manchester include Gordon Hill, the former top division football referee. Beginning in 1958, Mr. Hill officiated at over 400 matches. Sadly, he was forced to retire on medical grounds in 1972 when his eyesight suddenly came back. Nearby Wilmslow is the upmarket suburb that's become home to many Premier League footballers. However, a recent documentary following the daily lives of their wives and girlfriends had to be abandoned when the film crew collapsed due to peroxide inhalation. Wilmslow was also the home of Alan Turing, whose work during the war eventually cracked the German Enigma code. Turing spent countless hours trying to make some sense out of a baffling series of transmissions. Welcome to my world. Let's meet the teams. On my left, Barry Cryer and Graham Garden. On my right, Tim Brooke-Taylor and Jeremy Hardy. And preparing for some hot scoring action on the desk next to me, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Okay, we start the show with a round about quotations from historical figures who, on certain occasions, seriously misjudged the course of subsequent events. This is going to be one of the most entertaining games we've ever played. Humphrey Littleton, November 2007. And Barry, you can start.
Leonardo da Vinci. I'm a painter. Who's going to buy a book with my name on it?
Quote from the Troy Times. This Christmas, the must-have present is a wooden horse.
Anne Boleyn. Well, he doesn't have commitment issues with me.
Scipio, the Roman consul. And talking kangaroo, probably. No, he said that the defeat of the Roman army is about as likely as a herd of elephants marching across the Alps.
What's that, Scipio?
The kid's stuck down the mine shaft.
Mr. and Mrs. Hitler, you can never give your child too much sunny delight.
The one from 1666, Mr. Bryant, who said, "Good news, Mr. May. We've sold our first box of matches to that baker's shop in Pudding Lane."
The Pilgrim Fathers. Well, let's start a new country. I mean, what harm can it do?
The teams are going to sing for us now. In the game called One Song to the Tune of Another. And even as those words left my lips, I could sense the teams thinking, what in blue blazes is that all about? Well, fret not, as it's all relatively simple if given a proper explanation. If you think about it, a milk bottle is almost exactly like a song. It's wide at the base, but tapers to a small diameter opening at the top, which is sealed with a foil cap to prevent spillage. But that's not what makes it like a song. No, because the bottle contains milk, which is exactly like the words. The milk or words may be poured from the bottle or song, and then the bottle can be returned to the milkman to be refilled with different milk or words. Just like singing one song to the tune of another. But I hear the teams collectively gasp under their breath. What about garden birds? Yes. Yes, there is the danger, as your milk sits on the doorstep, that the foil cap might have holes pecked in it, allowing the ingress of contaminant and rendering the milk unpalatable. Sadly, things are liable to go sour, thanks to an unwelcome little tit. At the piano, Colin Sarah. Okay, we'll start with you, Barry. I'd like you to sing the words of I Tot I Tor Puddy Tat to the tune of Unchained Melody.
I live inside my birdcage, hanging way up high. I like to swing on my perch and to sing my little song, but there's a cat that's after me and won't let me alone. I tore a puddy tat, a creeping up on me. I tore a puddy tat as plain as he could be. That puddy tat is very bad. He sneaks up from behind. I don't think I would like it if I knew what's on his mind. I have a strong suspicion that his plans for me aren't good. I am inclined to think that he would eat me if he could. I tore a puddy tat.
Okay, you now, Tim, I'd like you to sing the words of Psycho Killer to the tune of By the Light of the Silvery Moon.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous, and I can't relax. I can't sleep because my bed is on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real life wire psycho killer. Qu'est-ce que c'est? Fa fa fa. Pa 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 pa. I better run, 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 run away. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Pa 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 pa. Better run, 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 run away. The last one.
Your turn, Graham. I'd like you to sing the words of Heaven Knows I'm Miserable Now to the tune of Waltzing Matilda.
I was happy in the haze of a drunken hour, but heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job, and then I found a job. And heaven knows I'm miserable now. In my life, why do I give valuable time to people who don't care if I live or die? Two lovers entwined pass me by, and heaven knows I'm miserable now. I was looking for a job.
And finally, Jeremy. I'd like you to sing the words of Hanky Panky by Madonna to the tune of Onward Christian Soldier.
Some girls they like candy, and others they like to grind. I'll settle for the back of your hand, somewhere on my behind. Treat me like I'm a bad girl, even when I'm being good. To you, I don't want you to thank me, you can just spank me. Some guys like to sweet talk, and others they like to tease. Don't clap, it's a hymn! Tie my hands behind my back, and ooh, I'm in ecstasy.
We move on to a round looking at scandals. The habit these days is to indicate a scandal by adding the suffix gate in the style of the original Watergate affair. Last summer, Blue Peter misled their viewers about naming a cat in what became known as Kittengate. And now ITV have admitted misappropriating £8 million of viewers' money in what's become known as "We're a shameless bunch of thieving gits but aren't going to do anything about it" gate. In this game, one team have been unwittingly implicated in a scandal about which they know nothing. Their task is to work out the precise nature of the scandal while being interviewed by the opposing team. And okay, we'll start with you, Tim and Jeremy. You're being interviewed by two journalists in the form of Barry and Graham. The nature of your misdemeanor will be displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
They've accepted honours for cash. They've accepted honours for cash.
OK, start your questioning now, please, Barry and Graham. And incidentally, audience, if you think they're getting warm, you can applaud. Won't do any good at all, but...
Good evening. Good evening and welcome to another edition of Yeah, Right. We begin by questioning our two guests tonight, Lord Hardy and Lord Brooke Taylor, and it has been noted that it's only since you were elevated to the peerage that you've become so strapped for cash.
And, we were mugged on the way into the House of Lords.
I see.
Lord Hardy of Streatham, there was your surprise appointment as the Archbishop of Canterbury, which...
Well, as a Catholic, I think it's important to have an ecumenical approach to these things. And I asked for guidance from His Holiness, and I bunged him 40 quid, and he said it was fine.
But Your Grace, and indeed you, Lord Brooke Taylor, Duchess of Buxton, not only do you now appear to be second in line to the throne, but you were also... seen and indeed photographed entertaining the Prime Minister at the Vanilla Hippopotamus Pole Dancing Club.
Polish dancing is very important to the Polish community.
Exactly.
And the Lap community's dancing is fantastic. They don't just work in Santa's Grotto, you know. You're clearly accusing us of buying honours.
Yes.
Your turn to be the interviewee is now, Barry and Graham. The nature of your misdemeanour will be broadcast to our audience via the laser display board, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
They've accepted a booking on quote-unquote. They've accepted a booking on quote-unquote.
OK, ooh, start questioning, my please.
Good evening. Do you want to tell us about it?
Could you specify what
don't you
us?
Think that people in your position have a responsibility to younger entertainers to be somebody that they can respect?
I would agree with that.
So can I just ask this? Have you completely given up on comedy?
Not at all. No.
Over
no.
to you.
No, not at all. Barry's still very funny.
Aren't you worried that other entertainers, genuine entertainers, might observe what you've done and copy you and get... And once people are into that sort of stuff, all kinds of terrible things follow. You know, hanging around with people like Nicholas Parsons.
Can you give us some idea of what you said?
On what occasion?
Whose words did you use, for example?
Our own words, I think.
Well, then you completely
missed the point of the program.
What was the reason for your involvement? Was it a special celebrity edition? Because that's never happened before.
Involvement in what?
This farrago.
This farrago that you know very well.
This shamble.
Yes.
Farrago.
Can I?
Yeah, it's a kind of car. Yeah.
Well, we were just invited to appear on this. Yes. They said, would you like to do 10 minutes on a farrago?
Can I quote you on that?
Yes. And we said, is Nigel Rees involved? And they said...
The next game is all about spotting connections. The teams will be presented with a short list of famous names, places or items, and we'll try to guess which of them are connected. An obvious example would be if I were to list John the Baptist, the Good Samaritan, and Winnie the Pooh. You'd immediately spot that John the Baptist and Winnie the Pooh share the same middle name. Well, the Good Samaritan has it as his first name. Okay, I have with me a selection of unlikely items, and you teams have to spot the odd one out. And we'll start with you, Jeremy. What's the odd one out from these three? Manchester, a cabbage, the moon's atmosphere.
I think it's the moon's atmosphere because the other two smell of cabbage. Well, what else can it be?
That was Jeremy Hardy speaking.
Well, I'll tell you what the correct answer is.
Yeah.
The cabbage and the moon's atmosphere are both 95% water. And Manchester isn't far off. You now, Tim.
Okay.
What's the odd one out of this list of three? Rats, astronauts, the baby Jesus.
I don't really know. Astronauts, rats, the baby... Oh. You're never more than 10 feet away from a baby Jesus. That was Jeremy Hardy speaking.
The answer is neither rats nor astronauts are able to burp. Astronauts can't burp in space as there's no gravity to separate liquid from gas in their stomachs. Rats can neither burp nor vomit. Barry, now, here are three more items. What's the odd one out? A golden eagle, a metal coat hanger, a garden gnome.
You could make car aerial out of all of them except the wire coat hanger. It's a protected species, you know, golden eagle. A guy shot one once. He was shooting grouse, and it flew into his sights, and he was in the magistrate's court, and he got off on that explanation, and the magistrate said, what did you do with it? He said, I ate it. He said, what did it taste like? He said, rather like swan.
Well, if you can remember the question, the answer is... On average, a golden eagle, a metal coat hanger, when straightened out, are both 112 centimetres long.
And the wire coat hanger and the golden eagle will both breed if undisturbed.
Yep, that's true.
How do you straighten out a golden eagle?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
You send it to rehab first.
Yeah.
Counselling, that sort
it's
of stuff.
For the yeah, yeah, yeah.
Finally, Graham.
Oh,
yeah. What's the odd one out of this little list here? The koala bear, French fries, lavatory paper, a lead pencil.
None of them taste quite as good as they look. Apart from lavatory paper.
So what's the odd one out?
Lavatory paper's the odd one out.
Well, you're right, actually, because the koala bear, French fries... and a lead pencil all have confusing or incorrect names. A koala bear isn't a bear. French fries originated in Belgium, not France. And lead pencils contain graphite, not lead. Oh, yeah. We're poised to go back to the golden age of letter writing now. It's amazing how the art of communication has moved on. Most correspondence these days is, of course, conducted via email, which may be quick and efficient, but you do have to be careful about those spam messages. I inadvertently opened one recently, and there were pictures of young, naked women. Underneath it said, click on the ones you want to have a sex romp with. That's disgusting. It's the ones with whom you want to have. Okay, teams, I'd like you to take turns to improvise the correspondence dispatched between two famous historical figures. Barry and Graham, I'd like you to start by composing a letter from Henry VIII to Catherine of Aragon. And then Tim and Jeremy will come up with a reply and so on. However, the challenge is that the letters must be constructed by each panelist alternating one word at a time. When I honk, it's the end of the correspondence. Off you go, Barry and Graham.
Dear
Catherine,
I am wondering
what
you
will
be
doing
next
week.
Because
I
want
to
talk
about
something
which
I
rather
think
you
will
find
interesting.
Namely,
divorce.
Bum, bum, bum.
Repetition of bum. I
sincerely
hope
that
you
will
agree
that
we,
namely
us,
will
decide
amicably
to
cut
our
heads
off
apart
from
mine.
Therefore,
I
have
insisted
that
Cardinal
Wolsey
draws
up
a
brief
chair
and
sits
down
in
it
so
that
he
can
tell
us
whether
we
will
be
comfortable
in
the
chair.
This
will
establish
that
you,
Winston Churchill.
Yeah, where were we?
Deviation.
But,
nevertheless,
I
can
assure
you
that
we
will
definitely
be
having
a
party
next
Tuesday
where
everyone
will
be
beheaded.
All
the
very
best.
Yours
sincerely,
King
Hal.
Okay. Reply, please, Tim and Jeremy.
Dear
Henry,
we
hope
that
you
are
reconsidering
the
dumping
of
me.
Because
I
am
very
nervous
about
losing
my
head.
I
am
hoping
you
will
go
to
the
Pope
and
ask
him
for
a
bit
of
cheese.
And
pickle.
Pickle. Also
coleslaw.
It would
make
me
very
happy.
And I
would
like
Wolsey
to
come
round
to
my
house
and
eat
blancmange.
But
not
cheese.
Because
I
love
cheese.
It's
delicious.
And
also
I
love
kedgeree.
You
love
kedgeree
as
much
as
I
do. Henry,
we
must
get
back
together
somehow
and
rekindle
the
romance
that
we
started
with
so
many
years
ago.
We
could
make
Love. Or not. As
the
situation
arises.
If
you
know
what I mean.
Lots of love
from
Katharina.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show, but it's just time for an edition of the Farmers Radio Times. Samantha has to nip out now as she's off to visit her new farmer gentleman friend who's so committed to being organic, he uses working horses on his land. Samantha says he has a selection of wildflower seeds that need sowing, so she's offered to throw her legs in the saddle, ride down to the meadow and spread them for him. So, teams, while she's away doing that, I'll ask you to suggest what listings might appear in an edition of the Radio Times likely to appeal to an audience of farmers.
Start the wheat.
Sex and the subsidy.
Never mind the bullocks.
I'm a combine harvester. Get me out of here.
Pig of the week.
Hen behaving badly.
Veal or no veal?
The moral maze.
Desert island ducks.
GMTV.
Grease with goat ungoat.
I'm a celebrity. Get off my land.
So, ladies and gentlemen, as the South African prop forward of time goes into touch and the English hooker of fate explains she charges extra for that, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and the fine folk here in Manchester, it's goodbye.
Barry Cryer, Graham Garden, Jeremy Hardy and Tim Brooke Taylor will be given Silly Things to Do by Humphrey Littleton, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultant was Ian Pattinson and the producer was John Naismith.